Sometimes Paul's letters can be easy to hear and to understand kind of what he's talking about. We read them well and take them in. But sometimes they can be kind of just kind of maddening to read them just as well and confusing. It sometimes they start off kind of like an essay. It seems kind of straightforward. He's making it some kind of argument. And then it seems out of nowhere, he talks about things like, you know, women need to have their heads covered because of the angels. And you say, what in the world are you talking about? That makes no sense to us, right? Or he'll be going on about, you know, Jesus is Lord of all. And we get that. But then he starts talking about that there's unseen powers and darkness that are out there. And we say, what are you talking about, powers? I mean, what are you talking about? Some things that we kind of, depending on what kind of background you come from, we like and we kind of affirm to us when he talks about things like gender and marriage and those things. And maybe sometimes it can be kind of frustrating to us to hear what he says. And if we have been Christians for a long time, going to church a long time, his words can become very overfamiliar to us. And we think before we even start to hear him, we know what he's already going to say. And we don't even really listen. And we don't let it be new to us the first time. And so I invite us to hear his words to be strange to us again. Right? Let his words be strange. During Epiphany, during this season, we're going to take time to work through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. I think it's a very fitting letter for Epiphany because maybe this might be his most Epiphany kind of writing. That word epiphany means to reveal, to uncover, to show, like to turn the lights on. And that's what Paul tells us he's doing today, right? In this letter to the Ephesians, he is to kind of turn the lights on. He's saying this is God has revealed something to him that he now wants to reveal to us. A new truth, a new fact, a new way of life. And that new thing is that right now, because of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, and by the gift of the Spirit, there is new creation right now for everyone. Right here in the midst of the present world, it is open to us all that there's something new. And the new thing is that all things are together in Jesus. Everything together in him. In this present world. And see, that's an epiphany. That's a revelation. That all things are one in him. And the way he starts this letter, to help us see how we're all things together, he starts it by saying to those who are holy, to the holy ones in the churches in Ephesus. And we say, holy ones, right? Holy ones, the saints. You know, when we hear that word saints, often the things that come to our mind is, saint so-and-so, right? Saint, we call him Saint Paul, right? Or, kind of heroes of the faith of long time past, okay? That's often what we think of when we hear the word saint. But what Paul is talking about here, the holy ones, in the Old Testament, only two groups of, things were called holy ones. It's either the Israelites were called the holy ones, and the others were the angels, were called the holy ones. You get that in Psalm 89, where he says, the heavens, right, the heavens praise you, O Lord, even your faithfulness in the assembly of those holy ones, of the angels that are surrounding God, giving honor and praise. And so now Paul is saying to these Gentiles, you are like the faithful Israelites, and you are like the angels surrounding God. That is who you are. Right? You are these holy ones. And he goes on that he says he has raised us up. He raised us up into the heavenly realms, right? The heavenly realms. You see, that's the epiphany we need to have. The thing we need to come to grips with is that right now, you're a holy one. You're a holy one, not because you do such holy things, right? Or as we see, it's not because you are pure and clear water, right? That is not why you are a holy one, right? You are a holy one even though you kind of still have kind of the dirt there and the debris in there, right? You're still a holy one. But you're a holy one because Christ has raised you up. And because he doesn't look like that to us now. Because right now it looks like that we're just kind of like everybody else, still kind of dirty and filthy, right? As we see. That's what it kind of looks like. And as we sit here right in our pew, or we sit here at wherever we're at right now worshiping, It doesn't always look that way, but our ultimate destiny is not shaped by what is here right now. Your ultimate destiny is shaped by what Jesus has already done, what he has done in the past, and has locked that in for you for the future. And because he has now exalted you to a heavenly place with the other holy ones, and that is not that he has lifted you up into outer space or something, right? He is saying it's here and now is heaven and earth. Here and now. If we had just eyes to see, if we could have our eyes opened and uncovered and have this revelation, you could see. You could see. And you would be able to see yourself as one that is receiving the wisdom of God, to learn how to love as God. Paul is trying to teach us how to think, how to see, to have an epiphany. That is, to think as a Christian, right? Christianly, to view this present moment in light of an ultimate reality, that all things are one in Jesus. And if all things are one with Jesus and he has raised us up into the heavenly places to rule with him, why should we ever wait? Why wait till some other day to say, then I'm going to rule with Jesus? He's saying right now. Right now. See, it would be wrong to wait. It would be wrong to wait to say, I'll wait till some other day to be freed from my sin and to be freed from my lust and greed and impatience and envy. And it'd be wrong to wait. It doesn't make any sense to live in that right now. We are freed by the work of the Spirit. And we live this way, we can live that way, because Jesus has, he says, he has raised us up. He raises you up and calls you now a holy one. He brings you with him as he is exalted at God's right hand. See, are we ready to have an epiphany? Because an epiphany can happen anywhere. It can happen like for Paul on the road to Damascus. He had an epiphany. It can happen like, you know, Jacob, right? Jacob, he was just laying out in the field, taking a rest for the night. And he had an epiphany. He just kind of saw heavens opened up and saw the reality of how things really are. It happened for the priests. They would go in, you know, once a year to the holiest of holies, and they would have this epiphany of seeing God as this kind of revelation of God there in the temple. And it can happen for you as you just hear Paul's words today, to have an epiphany. And how will your life be different? How will it be different? Because see, every day it looks like people just run the show, right? It looks like that's all that there is. It's just humans running the show. And it looks like, you know, might makes right. That's what it looks like. And it looks like a fear is what runs the day. And it looks like this is all there is. And if this is all there is, then we got to do everything we can to protect all that there is. Right? But here's the epiphany. The epiphany is that there is greater things going on than just people. Greater powers at work. And Jesus is enthroned above it all. Enthroned above it all. And when we filter every bit of our life through that epiphany, then how will life be different? How will you be able to see yourself as a holy one? Participate in the promise of Jesus. Now, after we, you know, we kind of live in a world that's, it's always been this way. It's not like a, you know, cry on today is worse than some other time. This idea that, you know, if I have nothing better to do, then I'll go to church, right? We say that. Then I'll attend, like it's something you can just kind of opt into in and out, right? That being a holy one is something I can be for a moment, all right? And we, as a church, we kind of fall into this, is the things that we pay attention to. And so what do we count? We count attendance, right? We want to count heads, right? And then we can say, oh, we've done it. We've done something. We've done this work. Because we have attended, right? But do we count the things that Paul is opening our eyes to? That is, do we count people having an epiphany, right? Do we measure that, right? That people opening their eyes to the mystery of God. Epiphany is not about just merely goals or plans. It's not just about songs or music. It's not about sermons or spiritual advice. The gathering, right? The being the holy ones of God, being caught up into the heavenly places of all kinds of people, That's what Paul is telling us, of all kinds. The many are now one. And we bear witness to this when we together, the holy ones, we bear witness to it when we lift up our voice in song. And when we make plans for what we will do with this mystery. And when we sit at the feet of our Lord and take in his wisdom and seek his kingdom. So what are ways that we can in this moment live as though this is all true, that you really are a holy one? If we had eyes just to see. One of those persistent burdens, Paul will speak about this much throughout the letter, right? One of the persistent burdens that has burdened humanity from the beginning is different groups of people, not being able to be one people, right? Being one. And Paul will talk about this in light of marriages, the two, how difficult it is for them to be one. In a family, he'll say, you know, how difficult, right, that is, right, for the many to be one. He'll talk about his ethnic groups, you know, how the many to be one. How else is this going to work itself out? That's the goal of the work of the Holy Spirit, right? That's not my job, right? That's the job of the Holy Spirit, right, is to help us think that out. Heaven and earth is bigger than just those few things. Just those few things. There are a lot of other things. There are many things that need to be reconciled. Many things that need to be brought together and be made one in Jesus. But the wisdom of Ephesians here is that he's teaching us how to identify places in the world and in our lives in which there is disunity, in which there is need for reconciliation, places that there's brokenness in our own life or brokenness in your community. And then to follow a model of healing. We see that as we are the holy ones who are lifted up into heavenly places so that we can live here in this present moment, living out the Lord's Prayer. As our Lord has taught us, he says, may your kingdom come, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, may the way that God has designed this world to be, may that become known and visible right here, right now. When we pray this prayer, what we're praying is we're saying that in this moment, there are places where God's will is not done. We're recognizing that. There are many places in the world where his will is not done, and his kingdom has not yet come. But there are places where God's will is being done, right? And where God's kingdom has come, and where an epiphany has happened, and where there are holy ones, right here, bearing witness to that epiphany, that all things are being reconciled in Christ. In his name, amen. And may a peace of God which passes all understanding, may it guard your hearts and minds in true faith until life everlasting. Amen.